Let's turn to Gospel according to John. Chapter 3. Verse 8. John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is just a verse for the moment. We know this is the word of our Lord to Nicodemus. And on verse 7, the Lord said, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." We know that being born again is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why, according to the interpretation of our Lord, being born again simply means that being born of the Spirit. Now, in order for us to understand better, in a better way, then we found that our Lord spoke to Nicodemus this way, on verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now we know in this verse, the word the wind and the word the Spirit. In Hebrew, or in original, always the same word. Actually, it was the same word. But sometimes it can be translated as the wind. Sometimes it can be translated as the Spirit. So I think this is very meaningful. You know, our Lord was very careful in using His word. So now if we read this verse again, I think we will understand much more, especially about the work of the Holy Spirit. So let me repeat again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it has come from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And our Lord used the wind, especially how the wind blows, to describe the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit. And of course we know that being born again is one of the works of the Holy Spirit. Now this morning I would like to share with the brothers just on one point. We know there are many aspects of the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit. I just try to concentrate one. So let us turn to another passage, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now I think we are very familiar with this verse because we use this verse quite often to comfort ourselves, also to comfort our brothers and sisters. Now even some brother got a ticket because of speeding, we also comfort him with this verse. All things work together for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. But brother and sister, I felt that somehow this verse has been greatly misunderstood. Because I don't know about you, but especially I remember very well when I used to understand this verse, or when I try to apply this verse, I don't know about you, but sometimes it happened to me, you know, when I apply this verse, as if I came to a point that almost completely helpless, because something happened to me, and I know that this must be the will of the Lord. And since I realized that God is greater than I, and He is all powerful, you know, He can arrange anything, and because He is greater than me, No matter whether I say yes to the will of God or not, anyway, that thing already happened to me. So as if I better say yes, better than shouldn't say no. Because if I say yes, then probably the Lord will turn something, you know, will turn our situation. So often we are always in that kind of condition when we apply this verse to ourselves or to our brother or sisters. But actually this is a very important verse. But so often we neglect just two or three words at the very beginning of this verse. Because at the beginning of this verse it is said, and we know that God causes all things to work together. Now this phrase, we know that, is very important. Because it is real knowledge within us. That we know deep down within us that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. But it's so often we don't have that knowledge. But how can we gather such a knowledge? Now, let us remember, here we will discover actually it began with the work of the Holy Spirit. And sometime we forgot. And we pick this verse isolatedly, as if this is an independent verse. But if we read the context, we know that before we come to this knowledge, before we can say we know that, and actually there's another very important phrase in verse 26. Well, let's go back to verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Now you see here we find the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Now before we know, we have to learn some lesson. That is, we don't know. I think this is very important, because sometimes we are just like a genius. Before we learn algebra, we already study calculus. No wonder sometimes we couldn't understand a calculus very well. Now the same thing, we so often forget the order here. First, we do not know, then we know. But according to verse 26 here, for we do not know how to pray as we should. And I think this is a wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. He always leads us to the first lesson, that we will come to one point that we do not know how to pray. Now, brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't understand this verse. We thought that we know how to pray as individual and also as a corporate. Because, for example, every Wednesday when we are together, and we know how to pray, and we know when we pray, the Lord definitely will answer our prayer. Now, I remember when I was very young, when I first newly saved, you know, I was told that I should learn the art of a prayer. Not only just to pray, we have to pray that the Lord will answer our prayer. So we find few techniques, and we know that there are some conditions we should fulfill that before God could answer our prayer. For example, first we have to pray, and then we have to pray unceasingly, and we have to pray every day, and also we shouldn't pray amiss. We should not pray for something which is beyond our need. And of course, when we pray, we should deal with our sin. We should not let the sin enter. We should deal with the sin that, you know, when we pray, the Lord really can answer our prayer. And also, as you know, we pray. We have to pray by faith. So I remember very well when I was very young, I tried to fulfill these conditions. Then I know that definitely the Lord will answer my prayer. Now I still remember a story. When I was about 17, and that time, you know, some of our young brothers, we tried to go to the college. Now in Taiwan, in Formosa, you know, they have to go through a very tough entrance exam. And for that exam, we have to work very hard. But we knew that, you know, it is not just by our effort, and we need to pray. And we have to ask the Lord to answer our prayer. And for that reason, and I invite some brothers to pray with me. And, you know, we all pray together. And for one purpose, that we can enter into some college. But actually, we assigned the best college for the Lord to answer our prayer. We say, now, when we pray, we want that college, because that's for your testimony, not for ourselves. You see, because we want to show people that, you know, these people, actually, they are smart, but they love the Lord. It is not because God, we want to show people that God is not God of junk collectors. No. He always looks for someone, you know, who always can be used by the Lord. So we really pray very hard before the Lord. We know that to enter into college is very important for our life. So we start to pray. But we want that college so much. And, you know, we want God to answer our prayer, you know, in a very definite way. So we try to fulfill every condition. And sometimes, you know, in Taiwan, there are typhoons, especially in summertime. You know, the storm will come. But because we pray, we have a definite, we have specific prayer before the Lord. And, you know, we always go to the meeting place to pray every day. But sometimes when there was a storm, and but then we told ourselves, anyway, no matter what, you know, we should go to the meeting place. We should pray together, because we thought that probably if we won't go, the God, our Lord, would take that as an excuse. Say, well, that day you didn't come, so you didn't pray unceasingly. So we take that word very literally, and we think that for that reason we have to come every day. And also we confess our sins, you know, we deal with the sins before the Lord. And not only that, we exercise our faith. Even we knew that at that time we didn't have much faith, but we thought that if we didn't have faith, at least we can sing some hymns about faith. You know, so we exhaust all those hymns of faith. You know, those beautiful hymns by Miss Barbara and many things, many songs. And when we sing those songs, and our spirit really lift up, and we thought that we had faith. So by that way, we thought anyway, the Lord has to answer our prayer. For 1 year, and we did pray every day. And I think we really apply our heart. And if anyone asks us, do you know how to pray? We say, no. Yes, we know how to pray. And we know after we pray, the Lord definitely will answer us. Because God never fails. You know, that's our knowledge. So we say, we praise the Lord, and after some prayer, then we begin to praise, you know. We think this is the way, you know, the Lord will answer our prayer. But it's very interesting. After 1 year of prayer, you know, we also went through a very tough exam. And I think just several of us, we were together. But strangely speaking, none of us has passed exam. None of us. The Lord didn't answer our prayer at all. Not even a second class of college, no. You see, none at all. So it was a shock to us. But now when I look back, I was very thankful. Because sooner or later, we had to be brought to a one point that we will say to the Lord, we don't know how to pray. Now, my brothers and sisters, when I look back, I discover something. You know, actually what we did is we try to corner God. We try to force Him to such a corner that He has to answer our prayer. So we surrounded Him with all the conditions. We fulfill every one of them. So God has no way, but then we discover He took the helicopter and went away. So we just cannot, you see, we cannot do anything. And He just didn't answer our prayer. Gradually, by the mercy of the Lord, when I came to this verse, I discovered sooner or later, brother and sister, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Because we thought that we know some conditions. If we fulfill the conditions of prayer, the Lord definitely will answer our prayer. But when the times go by, and especially when we grow in the Lord, brothers and sisters, sometimes we are facing some situation.
And you really don't know how to pray. Because sometimes we thought that this is very good. We should pray, and we should pray this way. The Lord should answer our prayer. But after then, if you really pray very hard and the Lord really answers our prayer, then you'll discover whether this is a blessing or not a blessing. You know, because sometimes we have a very strong will. And we think that this is the will of the Lord. And we think this is the best arrangement for our life. So we start to pray. And we think this is probably, you know, for example, sometimes we pray for the future of our children as to the school or to their marriage. We think this is well, we see something. When we see the Lord open some door, and we thought that, well, this must be it. So we begin to pray. And we thought that somehow if we can trust our daughter to such a brother, probably it's a wonderful thing. Then we began to pray and pray and pray. But then, brothers and sisters, and we want God to answer our prayer. And sometime, by the mercy of the Lord, God did answer our prayer. But brothers and sisters, after God answers our prayer, then you begin to wonder. Many years afterwards, then sometimes you will ask one question, whether this is a blessing or not a blessing. You know, according to our flesh, we always try to avoid the difficulties. We always try to avoid suffering. So we don't want that. But actually we forget. Sometimes when we receive something from the Lord, even it is a suffering. But afterwards, when we look back, we discover that it is indeed a blessing for us to go through that deep waters. And then we discover, actually, because of that suffering, the Lord has led us to avoid some other greater suffering. So, brother and sister, we really don't know how to pray. Especially when we come to the will of God. We have to pray according to His will. But thank the Lord that we ought to come to this point that we do not know how to pray as we should. Now, when we do not know, the only thing we can do as a garden locked, we simply just hand ourselves to the Lord. And one day we will tell to the Lord that, Lord, we simply don't know how to pray. You just take over. So thank the Lord that you discover the Holy Spirit did take over. Then Holy Spirit began to pray. Then according to the Bible here, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now Holy Spirit began to take over and to pray for us. Now if we read on, and he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now here we find the mind of the Holy Spirit. And God knows the mind of the Spirit. Now when Holy Spirit pray, always according to his mind. And God knows that mind because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Not according to our will. It is according to His will. And then, since Holy Spirit knows that the God's will with our life, so He knows that what we are lacking in our Christian life. So God, and then, you see, Holy Spirit began to pray for us. That we really can grow in Him. Now, according to that prayer, then we come to verse 28. And then we know that God calls all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now we begin to know. Because according to the prayer of the Holy Spirit, then you discover the wheel of the environment or circumstance is turning, is spinning. Then we discover all things work together. Then, brothers and sisters, now we begin to realize that nothing happened by accident. It is all according to the prayer of the Holy Spirit. For that reason, brothers and sisters, I like one of the hymns very well. That hymn is some verse like this: Lord, I do not fear to see what is coming. All I need is just a faithful heart to you. So I think this ought to be our prayer. If we know that when all things work together, it is not because something happened by accident. No, with Christians, we have no accident but incidents. So thank the Lord that because of the prayer of the Holy Spirit, then we discover that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Now, because we love God, now we know that God causes all things to work together, because God simply answered the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, when we come to this verse, when God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, sometimes we also misunderstood this verse very well. We thought that, you know, sometimes we cultivate some kind of mentality, actually, which is not very scriptural. For example, suppose one day we park our car on the street and somehow it was stolen. Now we felt very sad. For 1 month we didn't know the reason, and we just couldn't understand. But probably after 1 month, and the Lord give us another new car, probably a Cadillac. Then after you got the Cadillac, you were so excited, and then you stood up in the fellowship meeting and you shared this word. You said, thank the Lord God. You know, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. If that car was not stolen, I would never have the Cadillac with me. So you see, that's something good to me. Now we believe that this is really something good, but actually the Lord gave us something better. Because according to the phrase here, to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So brothers and sisters, Holy Spirit, pray for us that we may fulfill His purpose. God has a purpose with us, and God has a will with us. And we know that Holy Spirit knows the will of God. And what is the will of God? And what is the purpose of God? I think it's very simple. You all know, according to verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Now that's the good. For good to those who love God. That means when all things work together for one purpose, that we may be transformed into the image of Christ. Now that's good. That's good for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. We are called to live such a life. We have, this is the purpose of God with us. Unless, you know, God get what He wants in us, then Holy Spirit can never stop to pray for us. So for that reason, I think, brothers and sisters, when we read this part of the Bible, then we began to understand the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit. First, He prayed for us. Then, He prayed for us according to the will of God. Then, you discover the wheel of circumstances is turning and spinning. In another words, the wind blows in all directions. From that direction, from this direction, and from that direction. So when the wind blows, you discover the Holy Spirit is going to do a specific work. And just one purpose, that we may be transformed into the image of Christ. Now, for that reason, when we study the Bible carefully, you discover in the Bible mentioned the winds from all directions. And sometimes Bible mentioned about the north wind, south wind, east wind, and west wind. I think let's turn to one place. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Verse 16.
Awake, O north wind, and come, wind of the south. Make my garden breathe out fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad. May my beloved come into his garden and eat its choice fruits. Now, last night we have shared, especially on verse 12, a garden locked is my sister, my bride. And we know that there are three things in the garden. The flower, the fruit, and also the spices. And we have shared that the fruit speaks of the fullness of the life, and flower, the beauty of the life, and the spices, the fragrance of life of Christ. And if we read the Bible carefully, especially if we study those spices, I think it was very interesting. You know, different spices. And when something is cut, then you will smell the fragrance. And sometimes when this spice are boiled, then we will smell the fragrance. And also some of the spices, if you get it roasted, and then it will issue the fragrance. But there are different kinds of spices there, all in the garden. But now here we have the prayer of a Shulamite. Awake, O north wind, and come, wind of the south. Make my garden breathe out fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad. Or as Darby put it, blow upon my garden, that spices thereof may flow forth. And last night we have shared, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit, through the work of the Holy Spirit, then you see that in us, people can see the beauty, can see the fragrance, can smell the fragrance, and also they can see the fullness of life in us. But how this fragrance will flow forth? And according to the verse here, awake, O north wind, and come, wind of the south. Now, when God sent the north wind or south wind, then the fragrance of Christ in us just flow forth. Then all the people around us, they really can smell that fragrance. So we must thank the Lord that the suffering itself has no merit. Through the wind, after the wind blows, then one thing happened, that Holy Spirit already done something in us. Now, after God sent this wind, then you discover that the spices thereof may flow forth. So I think this is indeed the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Sometimes all things work together, and we discover it's a north wind, and sometimes it is a south wind. And of course we know the north wind is chilly wind, very chilly. And now when the south wind blows, it will give us the warmth. Of course we all welcome the south wind. But thank the Lord, He not only gave us the south wind, but also He gave us the north wind. But actually in our Christian life, if I'm not mistaken, often God sends the south wind. Then occasionally God sends the north wind. But the problem with us, you know, as a human nature, I think we tend to remember certain things. For example, some sister. For some sisters, her husband probably may be very kind to her, try to treat her very well. For example, kind to her 10 times, she may forget. But her husband just hurt her once, then she remembered very well. She remembered that time how her husband hurt her. And the same thing with us. Actually, God sends us often the south winds. But brothers and sisters, we always remember the north wind. That's why we lose lots of opportunities. We thought that only through suffering, only because we are facing the north wind, then we begin to testify for the Lord, then the fragrance of Christ begin to flow out. My brother and sister, I don't think this is very accurate. Our Lord has given us many opportunities, and you discover it is the south wind.
Now, when we have the south wind, brother and sister, let us remember just for one purpose. That's also part of the God's work, all things working together. We always have some kind of persecution complex. We thought that, you know, when all things work together, must be something bad. That's wrong. Brother and sister, when all things work together, yes, sometimes it is the north wind, but in many times it is south wind. Now, my brothers and sisters, when we are having the south wind, do we give the opportunity to the Holy Spirit to blow on us that the fragrance in us, a fragrance of Christ in us, may really flow forth? And let us get all this opportunity for Christ, that His we really can testify for the Lord how our Lord has done great work in us. So here in this place, we find the north wind, also the south wind, and all this wind just try to didn't create anything. Holy Spirit already has done something within us, but now God won't let it be known to the world. Yes, we are the garden locked to Christ, but God wants the fragrance in it to be spread out, to flow out, to let it be known to the world. Brother and sister, that's very important. For that reason, God works all things together. And then we discover sometimes God sent the north wind, sometimes God sent the south wind. But not only that, if we study the Bible carefully, we discover sometimes Bible mentioned about the east wind. Let us turn to Psalms chapter 48. Psalms 48. Verse 7. Psalm 48, verse 7. With the east wind thou dost break the ships of Tarshish. Now here we have an east wind. But this is a very interesting phrase. Thou dost break the ships of Tarshish with the east wind. Now we Chinese like east wind very much. You know, there's a reason, because if you look at the map of China, now, the sea is to our east. So when the east wind blow, it always carries some shower. Always care, you know, actually, that's why we have a saying, everything's ready but the east wind. That means when east wind blow, everything goes smoothly. So that's Chinese mentality about the east wind. But brother and sister, if we look at the map of Israel, you know that's something completely different. And in the Bible, west wind will carry to the people the heavy shower, because you have the greatest sea in the west. So when the west wind blow, that's true, that's a shower of blessing. But when you have the east wind, and you know east wind, that means to the east, you have a great desert there. And especially those scorching sand in the summertime, you know. So when the east wind blow, always carry those scorching sand with it. So when this wind blow, and it is a terrible wind. That means when this wind applied to us, it is not a very pleasant one. But brothers and sisters, now you discover here, thou dost break the ships of Tarshish with the east wind. Sometimes God sent the east wind. Now this phrase reminds of the story of Jonah. Now you remember his story. God sent him to Nineveh to send a message to the people there, to give the message to the people there. Now instead of going east, he went west. He went to Tarshish. You know, Tarshish is a part of Spain. It's very far from Israel. And that's somewhere in Spain, Tarshish. And that's the story of Jonah. And sometimes, you know, brother and sister, we couldn't understand very well about Jonah, because he has been greatly used by the Lord. He was a great servant of the Lord. And sometimes we thought that, you know, Daniel was great, and Isaiah was great, and Jeremiah was great. But remember, our Lord said, look, here you find the one who is greater than Jonah. Now someone tried to compare with our Lord, and our Lord definitely is greater. So this tells us actually Jonah was great enough, especially in the mind of God, especially when we study the Bible. But then we just couldn't understand how come when God sent him to the east and he just went west. He went to Tarshish. And we just couldn't understand. And also, I think we remember very well, and when Jonah, you know, somehow he got into the boat, and we were told that got into the ship and he fell into sleep. Now sometimes we also, you know, sin against God, or sometimes we also rebel against God. And I think we all know what happened, right? Somehow we feel very uncomfortable. Sometimes we just couldn't sleep. Sometimes our face get red and our heart beat fast. And I know some brothers and sisters, when you drive, you still use the radio detector. And you know, when you really know some police around, then the machine will tell you, slow down, slow down, slow down. But actually, when the machine is saying, slow down, slow down, slow down, now something within us already says something like that. Deep down within us, our conscience already reminds us to slow down, slow down, slow down. I think we all have that experience, brothers and sisters. Now, when God asks us to go east, if we turn west, if we are against the will of God, if we disobedient to the will of God, we just couldn't sleep. We just don't have a peace at all, brothers and sisters. I remember very well when I was very young, you know, when I was young, and we are always taught that we shouldn't go to the movie house, because this is part of the world. So I took it very seriously. And I dare not to go to see the movie. But I still like to watch a movie. So what can I do? I don't go to the movie house. But at least every day, when I read newspaper, I like to read those advertisements about the movie. I say, it's alright, if I don't watch a movie, at least I can watch this, you know, some advertisement, you know, as long as I don't go there. Now one day I saw advertisement, there is a movie about the King of Kings. Well, I thought it's wonderful. Other movie I probably shouldn't watch. You know, there are many scenes, many dirt in it. But to talk about, you know, this is a movie about our Lord, you know, how he died on the cross. So I try to justify. I say, okay, this time we definitely could go. So I asked another brother, and by that time we all are responsible to some young people. But then we talked to each other. We thought it probably is not good if we just go like that. Then probably someone will recognize us. Then that will cause the stumbling to them. When we go to the cinema house, you know, we were waiting because many people standing in line there to buy the ticket. But, you know, that, now when we, went there, tried to get the ticket, I knew very well, my heart beat very fast. And I felt very uneasy. I always worried that somebody probably may recognize me. But fortunately, before we go, I already told that brother. So we discussed probably one way that will not be recognized. People, let's wear the raincoat. You know, it's a very hot summertime, and it's a sunshine. You see. But in order not to be noticed, so both of us just wear a raincoat, that nobody can recognize us. So fortunately, probably nobody recognized us. Then we enter into the cinema house, my brothers and sisters. Something I know that I must tell you that I could tell you what happened that day. I mean, it is the whole cinema house just like hell to me, brothers and sisters. You know, everything is correct. I try to justify. But I don't know why, somehow deep down within, I just have no peace at all. So brothers and sisters, we all have this kind of feeling, we all have this kind of failure, you see. We know this very well. But then we just don't understand how come the conscience of Jonah never bothered him. And he could fall into sleep, just like that. My brothers and sisters, we just couldn't understand. But later, you know, when I studied a little bit, then probably I began to understand a little bit about Jonah was a prophet, a great prophet. And most likely he really, you know, inherited the spirit of Elisha. So he really can see into a distant future in his spirit. Now, if I'm not mistaken, now when he really see in his into the future, and he knew that one day the people of Israel will be captured by Assyria. And now you know Nineveh actually is the capital of the kingdom of Assyria. So because of that knowledge within him, and that's really caused pain to him, because he loved the God's testimony. He loved God's people. He was so patriotic. And he didn't want this to happen. Now, he heard the message, he heard the commandment from God to go there and preach, send a message to them. And he know that if he send a message, suppose these people, they really repent. My brothers and sisters, what does that mean? That means this kingdom of Assyria will continue. But if somehow, you know, if they really come to the fullness of their sin, then definitely the hand of judgment of God will be upon them. Now if this happens, now somehow, of course, somehow this will change the whole situation. My brothers and sisters, probably because of that kind of knowledge really tortured Jonah. He tried to help God. He didn't want that to happen. He knew that God was too kind. God is full of light. God is full of mercy. God probably will repent if these people repent. He was afraid of that. He didn't want that to happen. So my brother, for that very noble cause, he made himself a self-exile. He sent himself to a very far distant place. And probably some Bible scholar told us, probably because of that he run very fast. Because he probably was afraid that he will get caught by God somewhere. So he run very fast. That's why, one of the reasons why he was very tired and he fall into sleep. Probably so. But anyway, if somehow he could get to Tarshish. Now think about it. According to the Bible, the round trip from Israel to Tarshish, probably 3 years. So within 3 years, anything could happen to Nineveh. Probably God already exercised his hand of judgment. If God even want to catch him back, at least it would take 3 years. So you see, brothers and sisters, so for a very noble cause, he began to rebel against God. He tried to help God by going another way. God wanted him to go to east. Now he went west. My brothers and sisters, so often when we have a noble cause, for a noble cause, or then you discover that somehow we try to bribe our conscience, then conscience really fall into sleep. But more than that, we can imagine. When Jonah really arrived at the harbor, think about it. Every 3 years, you just have a one ship round trip like this. So you just calculate the probability. Think about it. That means usually it is very rare when you can see such a ship just round trip to Tarshish, to Spain. It's almost, you can see just every 3 years just like this. So now when Jonah arrived at the harbor, he saw the ship there. Think about it. If he used today our language, he probably could say, "Hallelujah, thank the Lord." Now that must be the will of the Lord. You see, otherwise, according to probability, how can you just come to the harbor and the ship is just right there? Think about it, just right there. But more than that, that ship to Spain is very expensive, because this ship is to carry the gold and carry the treasures, not carry people, not carry Jonah. So if you want to go there, you have to pay a great price. But it so happened that Jonah had the money, you know. Then he probably could testify saying, look, if it's not the will of the Lord, how come I got all the money? Because that ticket is very expensive and we just cannot afford it. But now you can see, when I arrived at the harbor, then you see that the ship is there, and as if God has provided all the money. And now probably because of that, his conscience really slept. Now, sisters, God loved Jonah. And even Jonah fled, probably because of very noble cause. Even when his conscience fall into sleep, then we read in book of Jonah, God sent a wind. Now according to Psalm 48, we knew that it is east wind. Just try to break the ship and just try to wake Jonah up. So we thank the Lord so often. We just disobey our Lord when we know the will of God, but we just go another direction. And we try to find some good excuse, good noble reason. And then we look at our environment, we say, look, according to this environment, this is confirmation from God. We are capable to do such thing, just like what Jonah did. So, brothers and sisters, so often, our conscience really fall into sleep. But it is the love of God that to wake us up by His wind. Then you discover that they have to throw Jonah into the sea. Then, brothers and sisters, and we are told that how Jonah had a wonderful experience. According to the New Testament language, that's the experience of death and resurrection. Now, Jonah really come to the end of his very self. Then he began to learn how to obey. So second time the word of God came to Jonah, asked him go to Nineveh. Now this time he really obeyed. And if we read the Bible carefully, God want him obey literally. And God only give him 5 words. That means after 40 days, Nineveh will fall. In Hebrew, just 5 words, that's all. And think about it, he went to Nineveh, and to Nineveh, Jonah was a foreigner. So even he spoke their language, probably also with Hebrew accent, and just 5 words, he was completely new to that city. But brothers and sisters, when he obeyed the word of God, literally, he didn't change it, he just used that 5 words, and then you discover that whole nation has been turned. And you discover there was great revival there. Actually, it was not because of Jonah. And it's because God let him go through a wonderful experience. And not only that, he learned obedience. He learned how to obey the Lord. Then you discover that, you know, God used Jonah, really bringing a great revival in history. And I think we all knew that, we all know that story. Now, when Jonah knew, I think if we were Jonah, we should be happy about what happened. You see, just 5 words, when you go through the city, and many people will turn to God. And it's a great, it's a great revival, you know. It was very interesting there. Some cattle, they were not given the food, so they were so hungry, though they began to shout, make lots of noise. You see, this is a way to show their repentance. So it's something really, you know, a really great thing happened. And Jonah should be happy about it. But my brothers and sisters, if we read the Bible carefully, Jonah was very angry. Why? I think this is understandable. You know, if we read the whole book of Jonah, actually, the only these 5 words is prophecy. And that's the only prophecy of Jonah he uttered in that whole book. But strange thing is this. This prophecy never be fulfilled. Think about it. In the Old Testament, you know, if a prophet, his prophecy never be fulfilled. Now people may think he's just a false prophet. And now Jonah simply obeyed God, literally, just follow the Lord. This time he learned the lesson. So he just used that 5 words. But the end, because the whole city repent, and God also repent, then, brothers and sisters, you discover that And His word, His prophecy can never be fulfilled. So that's what a great failure with Him. And for that reason, brothers and sisters, we discover He was very, very angry. Why? Because if we use New Testament language, His soul and His spirit was not separated. And if we really love God, if many people have been brought to Christ, we should feel happy. Even because of our obedience, you know, even as if the prophecy never be fulfilled, we should be pleased. We should feel happy, because only when God is happy, we are happy. But my brothers and sisters, then you discover that that was not so with Jonah. But then in the last chapter, of that book, and then you discover that how God taught Jonah another lesson. And what was the lesson? And He sent east wind again. I think we better read that verse, okay? Jonah chapter 4. Verse 8. And it came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Now here we find that again God sent a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he wanted to die. He didn't want to live. That's why he said, "Death is better to me than life." And if we see the force, the phrase here, with all his soul, he wanted to die. Now that's what happened to Jonah. My brothers and sisters, it takes the east wind to expose the real condition of this great servant. If it's not because of this east wind, we never knew with such a great servant of God, you discover that then we discover the flesh within him. And because of that, he didn't want to live anymore. And we know that, so that's what we are told here in chapter 4. So, brothers and sisters, we discover that the east wind not only tries to wake up our conscience when we disobey our Lord, and also sometimes, brothers and sisters, this east wind just to expose our flesh, just for us to know that what we are. Even a man like Jonah, having gone through so many experiences, wonderful experiences, in New Testament terminology, going through the death and the resurrection, and he has preached gospel, so many people repented. But brothers and sisters, only this east wind will test out what inside him. Then one day we will agree with Paul, "Within me there is no goodness in our flesh." So brothers and sisters, and when we read chapter 4, we discover the way of education of God is a very unique one. Mainly, God used his words, try to talk to Jonah. And we are reminded by the Bible, the word of God is living, quick, like two-edged sword. It will divide soul and spirit. No wonder the book of Jonah ends with the word of God. And here we find another beautiful lesson Jonah has learned before God. Sooner or later, he has to learn that this lesson, the dividing of the soul and the spirit. And we thank God for that. Through this wind, the east wind, and you see how Jonah has been helped by our God. And if we apply this passage to us, and how much lessons we really can learn from it. Well, this is the east wing. Now let's go to the west wing. Let's just read it. That will be enough. First King. Chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18.
Verse 44. And it came about at the seventh time that he said, Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. Then verse 45. So it came about a little while that sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was heavy shower. Now here we find the word with clouds and wind. Of course you know that wind is west wind. When God sent west wind, we had a heavy shower. After a long period of dryness in us, brothers and sisters, so often God sent the west wind. Really bring us the shower of blessing. So thank the Lord that in the Bible, God not only sent the north wind, south wind, east wind, also give us the west wind. But that's not all in the Bible. If you study the Bible carefully, not just north, south, east, and west, there's another wind. I think let us read Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9. Or let's read verse 10 first, okay? We know the story of the dry bones. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And I think we all know, understand this verse. But how this happened? Let's go back to verse 9. And then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they come to life. Now here we have one phrase called four winds. Not only this place, and also other place. Bible used the word four winds. Now, Bible scholar told us, what is the four winds? Four winds is nothing but the north wind, south wind, east wind, and the west wind blow at the same time, together. And this wind from all directions. This is called four winds. And through that four winds, you know how those dry bones come together and eventually become an exceedingly great army. So for that, brothers and sisters, today we need to pray that sometime God really not just send the north wind or south wind. Sometime He send the four winds, all direction. Then because, as a result, you find that all dry bones will be built up together as a great army. And I think I don't want to say much about it, but important thing is this, let's remember, here Bible used the word four winds. Now, Bible also used another word for this four winds. Actually, this four wind is nothing but whirlwind. Now, my brothers and sisters, to Job, I think whirlwind is very terrible. Because it was the whirlwind really took his children away. But brothers and sisters, after many discussions of Job with his friends, then finally we are told that God answered Job out of the whirlwind. Now for Job, whirlwind simply is a factor of destruction. God will never speak in such a circumstance. It's impossible. But brothers and sisters, let us remember, God really answered Job out of the whirlwind. And we thank the Lord because of that answer. And Job began to abhor himself, to hate himself. And he began to know God in a better way, in a living way. So brothers and sisters, sometimes God also sent the whirlwind. For us, we just cannot take it. We think this really beyond us. We think that this whirlwind just tried to destroy us. But brothers and sisters, if we know the story of Job very well, we know that God is all wise. Because if God was not sending that whirlwind, Job was in great danger. Especially if we study 29 chapter of Job.
We knew that he was rich in God. He was perfect. He was upright. But he was in great danger. He completely being wrapped by himself. He sinks very deeply into a mud that he can never rescue himself. He thought himself was so perfect. And think about it. And out of that his discussion, lots of irritation from his friends. Then all the self of Job has been exposed to the utmost. And then we knew that why God sent a whirlwind. Because we knew that Job was in a position of great danger. God has to do something drastic. Try to pluck him out of himself. Because he was so wrapped in the shell of himself. No one can do that. North wind won't do it. East wind won't do it. Only the whirlwind could do it. But thank God, when that whirlwind works, it will take Job out of himself and then take him into the very union with God. So my brothers and sisters, that's the only way for God to rescue Job. That's why we discover God used the whirlwind. But let us remember, if we know the path of whirlwind, we know that the path of whirlwind, actually it takes a helical path. And what is a helical path? It is a path of circular plus upward. You know, not you take the circular path like this. But if it's not at the same time upward, you're just going like this. Just like, you know, you remember what happened to Samson after his eye had been plucked out and he was doing that, how do you say that? He was doing, meal. He was working like that. And so what was he doing? He walked and walked and walked also like a circle, you know, always the same place, no progress at all. So my brother and sister, this is called circular path. But what is the helical path? It means on the one hand you are doing the circle, but on the other hand you are going upward. So my brothers and sisters, this is the path of whirlwind. Thank God we thought that this kind of whirlwind will drag us down. But by the wisdom of God, actually, on the one hand, it makes us perfect in one level, but on the other hand, he uplifts us to another level. That means from perfection to perfection. Yes, Job was perfect and upright, but only at his level. And thank God that God wanted him to go one level after another. Just like with Peter, not just one servant. But 77 until Job really reached heaven places and having wonderful union with God. So brothers and sisters, let us remember, sometimes God do send whirlwind. And it really costs us pain and great suffering. Sometimes we really don't know how to explain the whole thing. But we know that actually that's the wisdom of God. God wants us to be plucked out from ourselves, no longer dwelling with ourselves. And then by this way, we not only this going circular, also going upward until we really have union with God in Christ. So I think that this is very, very important. There was a true story, you know, especially in Italy, you know, there was lots of painting was doing on the ceiling. So there was a great artist. He was doing a wonderful painting on the ceiling. After he finished that work, and he loved that work, just his masterpiece. So he just, he was standing on the plate, you know, somewhere in the air, and with his friend. And while he was appreciating his work, and then he began to withdraw himself, you know, try to see in a better way. And while he appreciated, he was so satisfied. But at the same time, he tried to, turn way back and almost fall down. At that very important juncture, his friend was beside him carrying a whole bunch of ink there, ink. So at that very important moment, and his friend just threw that ink to that paint and destroyed the whole paint. And that friend just couldn't understand how you destroy my work. Then later he discovered actually his friend was not trying to destroy him, trying to save him. Because somehow he was so obsessed with himself, with his own work. And then he was exposed to a great danger. He didn't know that. Brothers and sisters, we just cannot understand the whole book of Job. We thought, how come these things happened to Job? Actually, God loved Job so much. He has a great confidence in Job. He knows that when Job, after he went through all this suffering, he never will fail God. He tried to curse himself, but he never cursed God. So he's such a wonderful heart. But at the same time, God has to rescue him from himself. Because if somehow he was obsessed with himself, that's a great, great danger. Then people only see Job, they cannot see God. So my brothers, especially you read chapter 29, you knew that he was really in that condition. Brothers and sisters, the whirlwind is just like that ink. As if it has destroyed something, take something away from us. But actually, it is the wisdom of God, you know, send us going upward, going one circle after another, and upward, by the whirlwind, we are really out of ourselves, and we really have a wonderful union with God in Christ. So may the Lord be merciful to us. That's the whirlwind. Of course, you remember how Elijah ascended to heaven in the whirlwind. So whirlwind is always bring us to the heavenly places with Christ. So we thank the Lord that this is dynamic work of the Holy Spirit. And let us not forget the word of our Lord. Let not forget of the word of our Lord. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it's come from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So may we are encouraged by his word, and let us know how Holy Spirit is working in us. But let us remember, just for one purpose, and one purpose only, that is one day we will be transformed into the very image of Christ. So then may the Lord use this word.